Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. I was out the 12th Hour. And the Elgin, Texas, today is January 29th, 2023, or it is a Shabbat, 18/20/27. We will start our first service today with a song, and then we're going to go in to a prayer thought. But first of all, the title of our sermon today is called The Flood. And it's chapter 7 of Patriarchs and Prophets by Ellen G. White. And we're going to now go into our prayer thought taken from 2 Peter. And it's chapter 3. It said, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of the remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Yahweh and Savior, knowing this first, that this shall come in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of the Yahweh. The heavens were of old. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of the Yahweh the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with the water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of the judgment and the perdition of unrighteous men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Yahweh as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. For the Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, and to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat, for the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and righteousness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Yahweh, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according unto his promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Savior is a salvation. Okay. Let's do that again. On account that the long suffering of our Savior Yeshua is with the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. That is to say, the new and living way through his blood, through his flesh. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according unto the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Yahshua. Unto him be glory, both now and forever. Hallelujah. That's the end of our prayer thought. Now we're going to go into our prayer, and then we're going to go into our sermon entitled The Flood. Okay. The Flood. In the days of the Noah, a double curse is resting upon the earth. And the consequence of the Adam's transgression and of the murder committed by the Cain. Yet this had not greatly changed the face of the nature. There were evident tokens of the decay, but the earth was still rich and beautiful in the gifts of the Yahweh's providence. For the hills were crowned with the majestic trees supporting the fruit-laden branches of the vine. For the vast garden-like plains were clothed with the verdure and sweet with the fragrance of a thousand flowers. For the fruits of the earth were in their great variety and almost without a limit. For the trees far surpassed in size, beauty, and perfect proportion any now to be found. Their wood was of the fine grain and hard substance, closely resembling stone, and hardly less enduring. Gold, silver, and precious stones existed in the abundance. For the human race yet retained much of its early vigor, but a few generations had passed since Adam had access to the tree which was to prolong life, and man's existence was still measured by the centuries. Had that long-lived people, with their rare powers to plan and execute, devoted themselves to the service of the Yahweh, they would have made their Creator's name a praise in the earth and would have answered the purpose for which He gave them life. But they failed to do this. There were many giants, men of the great stature and strength, renowned for their wisdom, skillful in the devising of the most cunning and wonderful works. But their guilt and the giving loose rein to iniquity was in proportion unto their skill and mental ability. For Yahweh bestowed upon these antediluvians many and rich gifts, but they used His bounties to glorify themselves and turn them into a curse by the fixing their affections upon the gifts instead of the giver. For they employ the gold and silver, the precious stone, and the choice wood in the construction of the habitations for themselves, and endeavor to excel one another in the beautifying of their dwellings with the most skillful workmanship. For they sought only to gratify the desires of their own proud hearts, and reveled in the scenes of the pleasure and wickedness, not desiring to retain Yahweh in their knowledge. They soon came to deny his existence, for they adored nature in the place of the Yahweh of nature, for they glorified the human genius, worshipped the works of their own hands, and taught their children to bow down to the graven images. In the rain fields and under the shadow of the goodly trees, they set up the altars of their idols. Okay. For their extensive groves that retained their foliage throughout the year were dedicated to the worship of the false god. With these groves were connected the beautiful gardens. The long winding avenues overhung with the fruit-bearing trees of all the descriptions, adorned with the statuary and furnished with all that could delight the senses or minister to the promiscuous desires of the people, and thus allure them to participate in the idolatrous worship. Men put Yahweh out of their knowledge and worship the creatures of their own imagination, and as a result, they became more and more debased. For the psalmist describes the effect produced upon the worshippers by the adoration of the idols. He says, "They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. It is a law of the human mind that by beholding we become changed. Man will rise no higher than his conceptions of the truth, purity, and holiness. If the mind is never exalted above the level of the humanity, if it is not uplifted by the faith to contemplate, invite wisdom and love, the man will be constantly sinking lower and lower. For the worshippers of the false gods clothe their deities with the human attributes and passions, and thus their standard of the character was degraded to the likeness of the sinful humanity. They were defiled, and the consequence, Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great, and the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. For the earth also was corrupt before Yahweh, and the earth was filled with the violence. Yahweh had given men his commandments as a rule of the law, that his law was transgression, every conceivable sin was the result. For the wickedness of the man was open and daring, justice was trampled in the dust, and the cries of the oppressed reached unto the heavens. Polygamy had been early introduced, contrary to the divine arrangement at the beginning, for Yahweh gave unto Adam one wife, showing his order in that respect. But after the fall, men chose to follow their own sinful desires, and as a result, crime and wretchedness rapidly increased. Neither the marriage relation nor the rights of the property were respected. Whoever coveted the wives or the possessions of his neighbor took them by the force. And men exulted in their deeds of the violence. They delighted in the destroying of the life of the animals, and the use of the flesh for the food rendered them still more cruel and bloodthirsty, until they came to regard the human life with astonishing indifference. It says, for the world was in its infancy, yet iniquity had become so deep and widespread that Yahweh could no longer bear with it. And he said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. For he declared that his spirit should not always strive with the guilty race. That's the same thing today. We're come to that point again, where Yahweh's spirit will not long continue to strive with this evil people on this earth. If they did not cease to pollute with their sins the world and its rich treasure, he would drop them from his creation and would destroy the things with which he had delighted to bless them. He would sweep away the beasts of the field and the vegetation, which furnished such an abundant supply of the food, and would transform the fair earth into one vast scene of the desolation and ruin. Amid the prevailing corruption, Methuselah, Noah, and many others labored to keep alive the knowledge of the true Yahweh and to stay the tide of the moral evil. For 120 years before the flood, Yahweh, by a holy angel, declared unto Noah his purpose and directed him to build an ark. While building the ark, he is the priest that the Yahweh would bring a flood of the water upon the earth for the destroying of the wicked. Those who would believe the message and would prepare for that event by their repentance and reformation should find pardon and be saved. Enoch had repeated unto his children what Yahweh has shown him in the regard to the flood. And Methuselah and his sons, who lived to hear the preaching of the Noah, assisted in the building of the ark. But Yahweh gave Noah the exact dimension of the ark and explicit direction in the regard unto its construction. in every particular. Human wisdom could not have devised a structure of so great a strength and durability. Yahweh was the designer, and Noah as the master builder. It was a construction like the hull of a ship, that it might float up on the water. But in some respects, it more nearly resembled a house. It was three stories high, with but one door, which was in the side. The light was admitted at the top, and the different apartments were so arranged that all were lighted. The material employed in the construction of the ark was the cypress or the gopher wood, which would be untouched by the decay for hundreds of years. For the building of this immense structure was a slow and laborious process on account of the great size of the trees and the nature of the wood. Much more labor was required than now to prepare the timber, even with the greater strength which men then possessed. All that man could do was done to render the work perfect, yet the ark could not of itself have withstood the storm which was to come upon the earth, for Yahweh alone could preserve his servants upon the tempestuous wet waters. By the faith, Noah, being warned of the Yahweh of things not seen as yet, moved with the fear, prepared the ark for the saving of his house by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant. While Noah was giving his warning message to the world, his works testified of his sincerity. It was thus that his faith was perfected and made evident, for he gave the world an example of the believing just what the Yahweh said. All that he possessed, he invested in the ark. As he began to construct that immense boat on the dry ground, multitudes came from every direction for the scene of this strange sight and to hear the earnest, fervent words of the singular preacher. Every blow struck up on the ark was a witness unto the people. Many at first appeared for the receiving of the warning, yet they did not turn to Yahweh with the true repentance, for they were unwilling to renounce their sin. During the time that elapsed before the coming of the flood, their faith in the blood, their faith and the blood of the testing was tested, and they failed to endure the trial. Overcome by the prevailing unbelief, they finally joined their former associates in the rejection of the solemn message. Some were deeply convicted and would have heeded the words of the warning, but there were so many to jest and ridicule that they, partook of the same spirit, resisted the invitation of the mercy and was soon among the boldest and the most defiant scoffers, for none are so reckless and go to such lengths in sin as do those who have once had life but have resisted the convicting spirit of the other. For the men of that generation were not all in the fullest acceptation of the term idolatry. Many professed to be worshippers of the Yahweh, for they claimed that their idols were representations of the deity, and that through them the people could obtain a clearer conception of the divine being. This class were foremost in the rejection of the preaching of the Noah as they endeavored to represent Yahweh by the material objects. Their minds were blinded to His majesty and power, for they ceased to realize the holiness of His character or the sacred, unchanging nature of His requirements as a sin became a general. It appeared less and less sinful, and they finally declared that the divine law was no longer in force, that it was contrary to the character of Yahweh to punish transgression, and they denied that His judgment were to be vested upon the earth. Had the men of that generation obeyed the divine law, they would have recognized the voice of Yahweh and the warning of His servant. But their minds had become so blinded by the rejection of the light that they really believed Noah's message to be a delusion. Okay, so it was not the multitudes or majorities that were on the side of the right, for the world was arrayed against Yahweh's justice and His law, and Noah was regarded as a fanatic, Satan, when temptation, even to disobey Yahweh, said to her, "You shall not surely die." Great as men, worldly honored and wise men, repeated the sin, for the threatenings of Yahweh, they said, are for the purpose of intimidating and will never be verified. You need not be alarmed. Such an event as the destruction of the world by the Yahweh who made it, and the punishment of the things he has created will never take place. Be at peace, fear not. Noah is a wild fanatic. The world make merry at the folly of the deluded old man instead of humbling the heart before Yahweh. They continue their disobedience and wickedness, for the same as though Yahweh had not spoken unto them through His servant. But Noah stood like a rock amid the tempest, surrounded by the popular contempt and ridicule. He distinguished himself by his holy integrity and unwavering faithfulness, for power attended his word, for it was the voice of Yahweh unto man through his servant. Connection with Yahweh made him strong in the strength of the infinite power, while for 120 years his solemn voice fell upon the ears of that generation. In regard unto events which so far as human wisdom could judge were impossible, for the world before the flood region that for the centuries the laws of the nature had been fixed, for the recurring seasons had come in their order. Hitherto for rain had never fallen. The earth had been watered by a mist or dew, for the rivers had never yet passed their boundary, but had borne their water safely to the sea. Fixed decrees had kept the water from overflowing their banks, but these reasoners did not recognize the land of him, or the hand of him who had stayed the water, saying, "Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further." As time passed on, with no apparent change in the nature, man, whose hearts had at times trouble or tremble with the fear, began to be reassured. For they reason, as many reason, now that nature is above the Yahweh of the nature, and that her laws are so firmly established that Yahweh himself could not change them, reasoning that if the message of the Noah were correct, nature would be turned out of her course, for they made that message in the minds of the world a delusion, a grand deception, for they manifested their contempt for the warning of the Yahweh by the doing just as they had done before the warning was given, for they continued their festivities and their gluttonous feast. They ate and drank, planted and builded, laying their plans and the reference unto the advantage they hoped to gain in the future, and they went to greater lengths in the wickedness and in the defiant disregard of the Yahweh's requirements, for the testifying that they had no fear, by the testifying that they had no fear of the Infinite One, for they asserted that if there were any truth in what the Noah had said, the men of the renowned, the wise, the prudent, the great men would understand the matter. Had the antediluvians believed in the warning and repented of their evil deeds, the Yahweh would have turned aside his wrath, as he afterwards did from the Nineveh. But by their obstinate resistance for the reproofs of the conscience and for the warnings of the Yahweh's prophets, that generation filled up the measure of their iniquity and became a ripe for the destruction. That's the we're in the antitype of that very thing today. The world has filled up the cup of her iniquity. She is now being put upon and destroyed. Starting the destruction has already started, for the period of their probation was about to expire. For the Noah had faithfully followed the instructions which she had received from the Yahweh, for the ark was finished in every part as the Yahweh had directed, and was stored with the food for man and beast. And now, the servant Yahweh made his last solemn appeal unto the people, with an agony of the desire that words cannot express, he entreated them to seek a refuge while it might be found. Again they rejected his words and raised their voices in the just and scoffing. Suddenly a silence fell upon the mocking throng. Beasts of every description, of the fiercest as well as of the most gentle, were seen coming from the mountain and forest and quietly making their way toward the ark. For a noise as of a rushing wind was heard, and lo, birds were flocking from all directions, their numbers darkening the heavens, and in the perfect order they passed into the ark. For the animals obeyed the command of Yahweh, while men were disobedient. Guided by the holy angels, they went in unto the Noah, into the ark, and the clean beasts by the seven. For the world looked on in a wonder, some in fear. Philosophers were called upon for the accounting for the singular occurrence, but in vain. It was a mystery which they could not fathom, but men had become so hardened by their persistent rejection of the light that even this scene produced but a momentary impression. As the doomed race beheld the sunshine in its glory and the earth clad in the almost Eden beauty, they banished their rising fears by their boisterous merriment, and by their deeds of the violence they seemed to invite upon themselves the visitation of the already awakened wrath of the Yahweh. Yahweh commanded Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." For the Noah's warnings had been rejected by the world, but his influence and example resulted in the blessings unto his family. As a reward for his faithfulness and integrity, Yahweh saved all the members of his family with him. What encouragement unto the parental fidelity! Mercy has ceased his pleadings for the guilty race. For the beasts of the field and the birds of the air had entered into the place of the refuge. Noah and his household were within the ark, and the Yahweh shut him in, for a flash of the dazzling light was seen, and a cloud of the glory more vivid than the lightning descended from the heaven and hovered before the entrance of the ark, for the massive door which it was impossible for those within and to close were slowly swung to its place by the unseen hand. For the Noah was shut in, and the rejecters of Yahweh's mercy were shut out. For the seal of heaven was on that door. Yahweh had shut it, and Yahweh alone could open it. So, when the Yahshua shall cease his intercession for the guilty man, before his coming in the clouds of the heaven, the door of the mercy will be shut. Then divine grace will no longer restrain the wicked, and Satan will have full control of those who have rejected mercy. For they will endeavor for the destruction of Yahweh's people, but as the Noah was shut into the ark, so the righteous will be shielded by the divine power. For 7 days after Noah and his family entered the ark, there appeared no sign of the coming storm. During this period, their faith was tested. It was a time of the triumph for the world. Without the apparent delay, it confirmed them in the belief that Noah's message was a delusion, and that the flood would never come. Notwithstanding the solemn scenes which they had witnessed, with the beast and the birds entering into the ark, and with the angel of the Yahweh closing, and by the angel of the Yahweh closing the door, they still continued their sport and revelry, even making a jest of those signal manifestations of Yahweh's power, for they gathered in the crowds about the ark, deriding its inmates with the daring violence which they had never ventured upon before. But upon the 8th day, dark clouds overspread the heavens. There followed the muttering of the thunder and the flash of the lightning. Soon large drops of the rain began to fall, for the world had never witnessed anything like this, and the hearts of the men were struck with a fear. All were secretly inquiring, can it be that Noah was in the right, and that the world is doomed for the destruction? Darker and darker grew the heavens, and faster came the falling rain, for the beasts were roaming about in the wildest terror, and their discordant cries seemed to mean to moan out their own destiny and the fate of man. Then the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of the heaven were open. Water appeared to come from the clouds in the multiple cataracts. Rivers broke away from their boundaries and overflowed the valleys. Jets of water burst from the earth with the indescribable force, throwing massive rocks hundreds of feet into the air, and these and the fallen buried themselves deep in the ground. For the people first beheld the destruction of the works of their own hands. For their splendid buildings and their beautiful gardens and groves where they had placed their idols were destroyed by the lightning from heaven, and the ruins were scattered far and wide. For the altars on which the human sacrifices had been offered were torn down, and their worshippers were made to tremble at the power of the living Yahweh, and to and to know that it was their corruption and idolatry which had called down their destruction. As the violence of the storm increased, trees, buildings, rocks, and earth were hurled in every direction, for the terror of the man and beast was beyond description. Above the roar of the tempest was heard the wailing of a people that had despised the authority of the other. For the Satan himself, who was compelled to remain in the midst of the warring elements, feared for his own existence, for he had delighted to control so powerful a race and desired them to live, to practice their abominations and continue their rebellion against the ruler of the heaven. He now uttered imprecations against Yahweh, charging him with the injustice and cruelty. Many of the people, like Satan, blasphemed Yahweh, and had they been alive, they would have torn him from the throne of the power. Others were frantic with the fear, stretching their hands toward the ark and pleading for the admittance, but their entreaties were in vain. Conscience was at last aroused to know that there is a Yahweh who ruleth in the heaven. For they called upon him earnestly, but his ears was not open unto their cry. In that terrible hour they saw that the transgressions of the Yahweh's law had caused their ruin. Yet while through the fear of the punishment they acknowledged their sin, they felt no true contrition, no abhorrence of the evil, for they would have returned unto the defiance of heaven had the judgment been removed. So, when Yahweh's judgment shall fall upon the earth before its deluge by the fire, the impenitent will know just where and what their sin is by the despising of his holy law. Yet they will have no more true repentance than did the old world sinners, since in their desperation endeavored to break into the ark. Some, in their desperation, trying to break into the ark, but the firm-made structure withstood their effort. Some clung to the ark until they were borne away by the surging waters, or their hull was broken by the collision with rocks and trees. For the massive arcs of the tremble and every fiber as it was beaten by the merciless winds and flung from the billow to billow. For the cries of the beast within expressed their fear and pain. But amid the warring elements, it continued to ride safely, for the angels that excel in the strength were commissioned for the preserving it. For the beast expressed unto the tempest by the for the beast exposed by the tempest rushed toward the man, as though expecting help from him. Some of the people bound their children and themselves upon the powerful animals, knowing that these were tenacious of life and would climb unto the highest point to escape the rising waters. Some fasten themselves to the lofty trees on the summit of the hills or mountains. But the trees were uprooted, and with their burden of the living being beings were hurled into the seething billows. One spot after another that promised safety was abandoned. As the waters rose higher and higher, the people fled for the refuge into the loftiest mountain. Often man and beast would struggle together for a foothold until both were swept away. From the highest peaks, men looked abroad upon a shoreless ocean, for the solemn warnings of the Yahweh's servants no longer seemed in the subject for the ridicule and scoffing. How those doomed sinners longed for the opportunities which they had slighted. Had they paid for 1 hour's probation, one more privilege of the mercy, one call from the lips of the Noah, but the sweet voice of the mercy was no more to be heard by them. Love no less than justice demanded that the Yahweh's judgment should put a check on sin. For the avenging water swept over the last in retreat, and the despised of Yahweh perished in the black depths. By the word of Yahweh, the world that then was, being overflowed with the water, perished, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in the store, reserved unto the fire against the day of the judgment and perdition of the unrighteous men. Another storm is coming. The earth will again be swept by the desolating wrath of Yahweh, and sin and sinners will be destroyed. For the sins that call for the vengeance upon the antediluvian world exist today. For the fear of Yahweh is banished from the hearts of men, and his law is treated with the indifference and contempt. For the intense worldliness of that generation is equal by that of the generation now living. Said the Yahshua, as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For Yahweh did not condemn the antediluvians for eating and drinking. He had given them the fruit of the earth in a great abundance to supply their physical wants. Their sin consisted in the taking these gifts without gratitude to the giver, and debasing themselves by the indulging of the appetite without the restraint, for it was lawful. For being lawful for them to marry. Mm-hmm. Let's do that again. For it was lawful for them to marry, for the marriage was in the Yahweh's order. It was one of the first institutions that he established, for he gave special direction concerning this ordinance, clothing it with the sanctity and beauty. But these directions were forgotten, and marriage was perverted and made to minister to passion. A similar condition of things exists now. That which is lawful in itself is carried to excess. Appetite is indulged without the restraint. Professed followers of Yahshua are today eating and drinking with the drunken, while their names stand in the honored church records. Intemperance benumbs the moral and the spiritual powers and prepares the way for the indulgence of the lower passions. Multitudes fled under no moral, feed under no moral obligation to curb their sensual desires, and they become the slaves of the lust. Men are living for the pleasures of the senses. Integrity is sacrificed for the luxury and display. They that make haste to be rich pervert justice and oppress the poor, and slaves and souls of men are still bought and sold. Fraud and bribery and theft stalked unrebuked in the high. Let's say it again. For the fraud and bribery and theft stalked unrebuked in the places and in the low, in the high places and in the low. Let's do it again. For the fraud and bribery and theft stalked unrebuked in the high places and in the low. For the issues of the press came with the records of the murder, cries so cold-blooded and cautious that it seems as though every instinct of humanity were blotted out. And these atrocities have become of so common occurrence that they hardly elicit a comment or awaken surprise. For the spirit of the anarchy is permeating all nations, and the outbreaks that from time to time excite the horror of the world are but indications of the pent-up fires of the passion and lawlessness that having one escaped the curd, or one escaped control, will fill the earth with the woe and desolation. For the picture which inspiration has given of the antediluvian world represents too truly the contradiction under which modern society is fast hastening, even now in the present century, and in the professedly Christian hand. There are crimes daily perpetrated as black and terrible as those for which the old world centers were destroyed. Okay. Before the flood, Yahweh sent Noah to warn the world that the people might be led to repentance and thus escape the threatened destruction. As the time of the Yahshua's second appearing draws nearer, the Yahweh sends his servants, which would be antipathically Elijah, Malachi 4:5. With a warning unto the world to prepare for that great event. For the multitudes had been living in the transgression of the Yahweh's law, and now he and mercy calls them to obey his sacred precept. All who will put away their sin by the repentance toward Yahweh and faith in the Yahshua are offered pardon, but many feel that it requires too great a sacrifice to put away sin because their life does not harmonize with the pure principles of Yahweh's moral government, for they reject his warning and deny the authority of his law. Of the vast population of the earth, before the flood, only 8 souls believed and obeyed Yahweh's word through the Noah. For 120 years, the preacher of the righteousness warned the world of the coming destruction, but his message was rejected and despised. So it will be now, before the lawgiver shall come, that is Yahshua, Genesis 49:10 is the prophecy for a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and that's Yahshua, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Okay, let's go back to our reading. Before the lawgiver shall come, Yahshua, Genesis 49:10, for the punishment of the disobedient transgressors, are warned to repent and return unto their allegiance. But with the majority, these warnings will be in vain, says the Apostle Peter. They shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. Do we not hear these very words repeated, not merely by the openly unrighteous, but by the many who occupy the pulpits of our land? There is no cause for the alarm, they say. They cry, before Yahshua shall come, all the world is to be converted, and righteousness is to reign for 1,000 years. Peace, peace, all these continue as they were from the beginning. Let none be disturbed by the exciting message of these alarmists. But the doctrine of the end of the millenniums does not harmonize with the teaching of Yahshua and his apostles. For Yahshua asked the slightest question, when the Son of Man shall come, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And as we have seen, he declares that the state of the world will be as in the days of Noah. For the Paul warns us that we may look for the wickedness to increase as the end draws near. For the Spirit speaketh especially that in the latter times none shall depart from the faith, giving heed unto the seducing of the spirits and doctrines of devils. For the apostle says that in the last days perilous times shall come, and he gives a startling list of the sins that will be found among those who have a form of the righteousness. This brings into perspective our contest just at the 11th hour call. We're going to close now with a song. We'll continue and finish this chapter out, though, in case it can be cleaned up and put and left on this study. As the time of the, we're on page 103, as the time of the probation was closing, the antediluvians gave themselves up unto the exceeding amusements and festivities. For those who possessed influence and power were bent on keeping the minds of the people engrossed with the mirth and pleasure, lest any should be impressed by the last solemn warning. Do we not see the same repeated in our day while the Yahweh's servants are giving the message that the end of all things at hand, for the world is absorbed in the amusements and pleasure seeking, for there is a constant sound of the excitement that causes indifference to Yahweh and prevents the people from being impressed by the truth, which alone can save them from the coming destruction. In the Noah's day, philosophers delayed or declared that it was impossible for the world to be destroyed by the waters. So now there are men of the science who endeavor for the showing that the world cannot be destroyed by the fire, that this would be inconsistent with the laws of the nature, but the Yahweh of the nature, as the maker and controller of her laws, can use the works of his hands to survive or to serve his own purpose. When the great and wise men had proved unto their satisfaction that it was impossible for the world to be destroyed by the water, when the fears of the people were quieted, when all regarded Noah's prophecy as a delusion and looked on him as a fanatic, then it was that Yahweh's time had come, for the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of the heaven were opened and the scoffers were overwhelmed in the waters of the flood. With all their boasted philosophy, men found too late that their wisdom was foolishness, that the lawgiver, Yahshua, Revelation 5, 9-11, is greater than the laws of the nature, and that omnipotence is at no loss for the means for the accomplishing of his purpose, as it was in the days of Noah. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. For the day of the Yahshua will come as a thief in the night, and of which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with the fervent heat, for the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. When the region of the philosophy has banished the fear of the Yahweh's judgment, when the religious teachers are pointing forward for the long ages of the peace and prosperity, and the world are absorbed in their rounds of the business and pleasure, planting and building, feasting and merrymaking, rejecting Yahweh's warnings and mocking his messenger, then it is that the sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. This brings in verse 50. Shall contact us at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now with this song.